Corey, thank you so much for the invitation. And Travis and Jay, I appreciate y'all's help up there. I'm going to clear some things away because I don't know where I may throw my arms, what I might hit this morning. Been nervous. I told I have a seniors group that I do some stuff with, and Friday night we had a meal, and I told them, pray for me Sunday, because I'm a little nervous about the message. And because they've been a part of my church now for 32 years, a lot of them, and have been there all the years I've been there, 32 on staff and 28 as a pastor, it's hard for them to comprehend that I get nervous speaking. But this is a big deal for me. I know a lot of you don't know me, but I've known Wilma and Ken, and if I start down a name list, I'm going to mess up. But Randy, Butch and Sandra are here, so many. Miss Peacock. I've known them since, a lot of them, a long time. I started attending Macon E, where Joe was the pastor, when I was 8. First church our family ever attended, first time we ever went to church, was Macon E. It's the place I was saved. It's the place I was baptized. It's the place I learned this great gospel message. It's the place I learned the balance between preaching the true standards of God, but also loving people and being willing to get down in the pig pen with them and helping them. To get out of the hole that the devil's got them in. Miss Wilma has been a hero of mine, and I'm not sure I say this enough. When I see her on occasion, I try to say things like this, but there's no way for me to say publicly how much Wilma has meant to me, how much she helped me navigate God's will for my life. And the failures and the shortcomings, I'm like you, a living example that God can do good even when we choose to do bad. And he can make something good out of bad that we've done or not done. That's how big a God we serve. Corey, it's been a privilege. I've been running into your church family at Cracker Barrel and different places on Sunday. And I want to tell you, from Randy and all of them that I know that I run into, they brag on you all the time, man. They were bragging on you when you were the youth pastor and the associate pastor, and they've been bragging on you as their pastor. They love you. And it shows how much you love him. And Corey, I appreciate the invite. Yeah, that's good. But I still got to say, Joe, my pastor growing up, is still the best pastor, preacher that I've ever been around. He's the best speaker. And I listen to a lot of people like you on radio, but if you gave me a choice of anybody I can sit down and listen to for 20, 25 minutes, share God's word, I would pick Joe over any of them. He had a way of bringing God's word down to few words and saying a lot. And that's a gift. All right, so I want you to pray for me. Corey told me to do what I normally do. And I'm normally about 20, 25 minutes, but I'm concerned because I see the time and the music's been awesome. Let me say, players, instruments, Ken, music, Luke, Rakera, awesome this morning. But I also know that not only is it 11:20, so I need to go ahead and get started, but I also know you're like me. You can kind of smell what's over in the next room, can't you, huh? So it's one thing if your stomach's just growling, but you still got to drive to the restaurant, man. It's just right across the way. So I'm going to be sensitive to that, but I know you're like me. And I prayed about this. So I need you to know a couple things about me. One, I have a tendency to go real fast, so I need to slow down because you're not used to my southern speed. But also, I need to tell you, I'm just a pastor. I'm a pastor. I'm a pastor who knows the highs and lows of ministry. I know what it is to rejoice. I saw 12 baptisms at your church last week. That's something to rejoice about. But I also know what it is to walk. Sometimes it seems like months, and you wonder if you're still making a difference. To wonder if you're still getting it done. I know what it is. I know what it meant. I know more now why Paul would write things like, don't become weary in well-doing. Because it can get challenging, can't it? The songs speak to that. So with that, I need to tell you this. When we set aside moments, we had our homecoming last weekend. When we set aside moments, and I pray about what to do, I need you to know I'm not a dynamo speaker or anything like that. All I know to do is, kind of from a pastor's heart, say things that I feel like I would like to hear said at my church sometimes, and are said. So if you're like me, I don't like to waste these moments. If we're going to set it aside, then preacher, come give me the truth and give it to me in love. And let's honor God, but let's do some soul searching while we're in God's house. So rather than just kind of, I prayed about this, and we've done them all at our church. I've done kind of a typical home-going celebration kind of message. That's just not where the Lord led me. I don't know why, but I hope that it proves to be a message for somebody. Here's what I'd like to do. I'd like for you to stand. We read God's Word, and then we're going to hit the ground running this morning. Turn, if you like to turn, they're going to have it on the screen. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19, 20, and 21. And I brought the New King James with me this morning. Listen to the Word of God. Paul wrote to Timothy, "Nevertheless, having this seal, the Lord knows those who are His. And let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone," listen to this, "therefore, if anyone," I've always told my church, there is a part we do in what God does in our heart and life. And many times it's the first step from a pew to an altar. But this is another one of those moments where we get an action word. Listen to this action word. "Therefore, if anyone," it says in the New King James, "cleanses himself." The King James says, "purge himself." "If anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work." Father, would you help? Would you help me, Father, to move along as I need to? But mostly, Father, I pray that you'd help me to do what's needed for these people who you know way better than I do. Would you help me, Father, to give this message in the balance of truth and the balance of love that you'd have me give it in this morning? And I ask for your help always, Father, at moments like these. You are the one needed most. I pray this in Christ's name, and all God's people said, you may be seated, church. You know, this is true. There's a number of things true we're going to touch on quickly this morning. It is abundantly true this morning that Ken doesn't know, Wilma doesn't know, Corey doesn't know, your Sunday school teacher doesn't know, mom and dad really don't know, your spouse doesn't know, and your children really don't know. But who knows is God, and God really knows in this place who are His children. I preach a lot of funerals, and a lot of times I preach as if I know, and I often say at the end of the service, typically around the graveside, I'll say something like this: "I've said a lot today, but I got to be honest with you, I really don't know. It's God that knows." And so I'd like for you to be honest with the Lord this morning, because you know He knows, and you and I know He knows. And you're like me, you kind of clean up good. You clean up good. I don't always clean up so good. We clean up good. We kind of look like wheat. But in your church, the same thing. My church just finished services this morning. They finished around 11:05. I just got a text from a couple ladies that we're having in a meeting that I asked them to have. And your church is like mine. In that church this morning, in your church, are wheat and tares, sheep and goats. And the truth of the matter is, most everybody to us, a lot of times, they look like wheat and look like tares. So let's be real this morning. Before we go have a great meal, let's be real about where we are, God. And since He knows, let's be willing to let Him speak to us. Amen? It says this, and I love this. It says, "Everyone who names the name of Christ," Paul wrote, "depart from iniquity." I love the truth of this because, as I said at the beginning of my introduction, sometimes the word just needs to be said straight. And this is one of those times where I don't need to say a lot. The Lord says it pretty plainly. He says to Tim Long, "Tim, if you are going to name my name, depart from iniquity." The NIV, the 84 NIV says, "Get away from every form of wickedness." The good church that I grew up attending, the camp meetings I grew up attending, the preachers would say something like this: "Shun the very appearance of evil." I'm glad I grew up in a place that not only preached about the great message of salvation, but the importance of a place of full surrender, where we hunger to be all that we can be for the Lord. And you know what? Why would the Lord say this? Why would He say it? Well, it's obvious why. Because if we're ever going to make a difference for the Lord, it's going to be because people look at us and they think we're different. And because they know that they know that we tried to be different and we tried to turn over a new leaf and we made new commitments, then they come to this conclusion: the only reason we're different is because God showed up and made a difference in our heart and life. And so not only is it a command, I believe a true command. Tim, if you're going to walk with me, then get serious about sin. But also, folks, it's our best hope for our family to love and to have any reason to want to know the God that we're so blessed to walk with. And then he says something else in this verse, though, that I don't want, before I get to the meat of the message, I don't want to pass on in verse 19. He used this phrase, who names the name of Christ. And can I remind you, church, that's the big deal this morning. I have a long time ago, and I'm glad again, I grew up in a church where we didn't focus on, I grew up in a place where we believed that Baptists were saved and Methodists were saved and Nazarenes were saved and all the flavors of Presbyterian and all the different groups. And you know what I've learned over the years? That I don't care what the name is on the door. Let's be a place that preaches the truth of God's Word. Because what matters is we name the name of Christ. And around here, Corey, I love the fact that you're interested in us linking up and all the churches getting together and trying to reach out to our community with one voice. Because around us in this community and around our state and our country are a host of people who are confused about what it means to be Southern Baptist and Independent Baptist, and Evangelical Methodist, United Methodist, and the PCA Presbyterians and USA Presbyterians. But they understand when we get down where they hurt and love them. And they understand when we live the gospel that we say we live in front of them. D. James Kennedy, one of my favorite people to listen to growing up, he told a story about Alexander the Great, how after battle they would always bring to him the people who went AWOL, as we term it today. And they brought this one particular young man, and everybody who had shirked the battlefield and ran, he sentenced them to death. And then this one young man came forward, and he asked him his name, and he said, Sir King, my name is Alexander. Boy, they just thought, boy, the leader's going to be irate here. And he said to him this, change your name or change your conduct. Change your name or change your conduct. You know what I want to say sometimes, even to my church? Take the fish symbol off your car. Change your Facebook status if you're not going to change your conduct. Let everyone, he says to us, a strong word, who named the name of Christ, depart from iniquity. And that's the big deal. Not, you know what I tell my folks, and it may not be perfectly true, but I've said it for years. In Macon, Georgia, we're only as strong at First Evangelical Church down the road as the weakest members of our church. Because what they think of FEC is what they think of the people who attend FEC. And that's kind of a deal, but it's nothing like the big deal, folks. What they think of our God many times is what they think of us. And if our walk doesn't measure up, then they begin to think that God must not be real. He must not make a difference. Because if we're just sometimes up and sometimes down and we're sometimes on fire and sometimes cold, if we're sometimes doing good and sometimes not, and if we just continue to just live in the cesspool, and no wonder, lovingly I say, we're not making a difference in making Georgia and this great country that we used to make. Then he goes on. Let me move quickly. He goes on in verse 20 and says, in the great house are vessels, some to honor and some to dishonor. For time's sake, I won't talk about the tremendous significance of gold and silver compared to wood, hay, and stubble. But just know, gold and silver for God was when it went through the fire and came out awesome. Wood, hay, and stubble is when it just didn't measure up and it just burned away, served no purpose. Let me just kind of give it in a simple way there. And so it's also true here that not only does God know who he or he is, but also in here, our people, because really what Paul was referring to were vessels, you and me, people. He wasn't really focusing on the candlesticks and the altars and the different things that we use in worship. He was talking about the people, because it's us, aren't we? We are privileged to be temples of the Holy Spirit, of the living God. Why Ken can say so well, the Holy Spirit's always here. Why? Because the church, your church, when we dismiss today, I notice sometimes on our Facebook status we say church is closed. It says church is closed when it's not church time. But really that's not true, is it? Because the church has just gone all over the community. Because the true church just kind of moves around regularly. So here we are. So here's what's happening at my church and your church. I got people who are either bringing glory to God or people who are bringing dishonor to God. I got staff
who are either bringing glory to God or they're bringing dishonor to God. It's always been the case. It's still the case now. That's why I said earlier, it's in large part why it matters, the way we behave and the way we walk with God, because what they think about our God is what they think many times based on what they see and think of us. Matter of fact, this is kind of a poor example, but many times we think crazy about the Muslim Islamic fanaticals. And why do we think this? Because they've got a remnant of people who think you kill people to go to heaven. And it jades our view of the whole Islam religion. I would say to you humbly, when we behave wrongly, it jades the view of our great God and the message that he's given us. Again, I would say to you again, it's not a big deal that you attend a community church. It's not a big deal that my church is called an evangelical church. What's a big deal is that we name the name of Christ. And we're known as his children. And let's be honest, many times the church has lost its place of esteem because you know what Barna tells us in his research? Whether it be divorce, abortion, homosexuality, you run the gamut. Whether it be lying, cheating, pornography, you run the gamut of the sin. Almost in our evangelical churches, I'm not talking about liberal churches, in our evangelical churches, almost the same percentage of people are caught up in these vices in the church as outside the world. And so it's easy for us preachers to pound the pulpit and say, wow, they've taken God out of school. They won't let us put up the Ten Commandments and this and this and this about the public. When really what we ought to do in our churches is a better job of going, whoa, I'm less concerned about the public square than I am about what's happening in our homes. How much are we praying? What are we doing when we're online? How much are we living out the Ten Commandments? How much are we living out this great gospel? And I suggest to you that sometimes, yes, the easiest people to beat up on in the country is Christians. Believe me, I know it. But I wonder sometimes if we've lived in such a poor way that we've given the media and we've given the country and we've given the world a big excuse to look down at the Church of Jesus Christ with disdain. And I say, God help us. I asked my seniors on Wednesday night about a month ago, did you ever think you would see the changes in this country that you're seeing in such a short amount of time? And they said what you would say, no, no. And I say lovingly, God help us. God help us. But you know what the hope for this country is? It's the same hope that always was there for the nation of Israel. It is that the people of God will get in earnest about their sin and will get in earnest about living for the Lord and get in earnest about making a difference with their family and loved ones and people they work with. Amen? We decry all these things. As a matter of fact, how many of y'all remember, what was it called? The Susan B. Anthony dollar. Raise your hand. Remember the Susan? You got to be, yeah, I know. What was wrong with the Susan B. Anthony dollar? It looked too much like a quarter. And I say to you lovingly, that's what's wrong with the church. We ought to look like a dollar, and we look like a quarter. And I say, God help us. Because I suspect I'm preaching to a group of people that a high percentage don't just want to get by, but you're like me. In the short amount of time you got and we got, we want to make all the difference for the Lord for all the time that we have left to make a difference. Amen? And if we're going to do that, then he's got to look down and say, Corey and Tim and their churches and their board members and their singers and their teachers and the people that keep the nursery are people who are in earnest about being vessels of honor to me, to God's glory. And that's why verse 21, I paused that as we went. Look what it said in verse 21 again. If a man cleanse himself, purge himself. I love these action words in God's word, especially in the New Testament, because people sometimes beat us up on the Old Testament, take things out of context. But here in the New Testament, it'll say things like abstain, flee fornication, resist the devil. And here's a place where it says to us, Tim, there's a part you do. There's something you do here. You cleanse yourself. In old-fashioned, I don't use these terms as much anymore because I'm just so little concerned about the terms as I am about just making sure we get it done. It's what we call our act of consecration. Where we look, you know what I had to do? When I was the age of these young people, boy, so many talented young people over here playing. When I was their age and running around in college, my first few years, I just got all sidetracked, all messed up. And when I came back to the Lord from a backslidden condition and he wondrously forgave my sins, one thing I had to do, you know what I had to do, young people? I had to break ties with some friends. dear friends. Friends I ran around in college with, and I wrote them a letter. You know, I thought, how can I do this? Because I just couldn't figure out how to do it. I was a little bit timid. I was a little bit ashamed. So this is what I did. I wrote them a letter. And I know now men writing men's letters and different things, there's a little different twist. I wrote my three closest buddies I ran in college with a letter. This is what I said to them. Guys, the Lord's forgiven me. And for me to get over the hump, this is what I know I got to do. I can't go there anymore. And I lifted the theirs. I can't do. I can go softball. I want to play in all the tournaments you want to invite me to play. I can go here and I can go that. We can go to this school function. But those weekend nights, places we went, I can't go anymore. Because I don't believe I can really get over the hump with the Lord and really figure out what my life ought to look like with God if I keep trying to keep one foot in the world and one foot out of the world. I sat down with my mom and dad at a table. I can tell you, Bill and Hazel Long were shocked to see this. I sat them down at a table, and this is what I said to them. Mom and Dad, I need you to hold me accountable. From this moment on, because you know what? From 8 to the time I left, to the time I got to where I didn't attend Making Need regularly during those backslidden years. From time of 8 until then, though, I was at the altar every service. Because when Joe preached, I thought the Lord was talking to me about my life. I'm one of those guys that, like we got at church, Corey, sometimes the little children follow you out and they say, pray for my mom and dad. Joe had to think Bill and Hazel Long were the worst set of parents in the world. you know what I know better? Because Joe would have had scores of little Tim Longs saying, pray for mama and pray for dad. You know one of my favorite ladies in Sunday school, and I got to quit doing stories and keep and move on for time's sake. One of my favorite ladies in Sunday school said when our children first went into her age group, what I found out she'd been saying for years, and I think still says now, I won't believe anything your children tell me if you won't believe anything your children tell you. That's a pretty good deal, isn't it? I like that. She had heard enough and seen enough, Hey, church, cleanse ourselves, purge ourselves. Would you allow the Lord, while we're talking and being real this morning, would you allow him to be real with you? When I told mom and dad, it's going to be different. It wasn't because I turned over a new leaf. The Lord has showed up. And for really, maybe the first significant time in my life, I realized it was time to quit playing church and be real with God. And he showed up. And, there's been bumps in the road. There have been some huge bumps in the road since. But he's been faithful. Can I ask you a question? Two questions I ask myself regularly. And when people come to ask me, us preachers, we get questions all the time. What about this? What about that? Can I do this? And people come in, I got something, and they always assume it's a little gray. And this is what I always say to them, something to this effect. Does it glorify God? Do you think this really glorifies God? And two, does it hinder your influence? And if they can't answer correctly to both of them, I tell them, you got your answer from God. Because no real person who's hungry to be in the center of God's word ever ask a question, can I do this and get by? We're constantly asking the question, how much influence do I want to have? How much glory do I want to bring to God? And am I willing to really let it go to be all that I can be to the glory and honor of Almighty God? Amen. It says in verse 21, if a person will do this, if a person will say, Lord, I'm willing to let it go, from the internet to my entertainment choices to my life choices to the things I know that are clearly wrong, Lord, I'm willing to put it at the altar and make sure it is pleasing to you. He says in verse 21, then that cat person will be a vessel of honor, sanctified, made holy, set apart for God's purpose. Oh, be careful, because I move around a little. And I got to be careful not moving too fast, and I see where the time is. You know what? Your church is like mine. Thank you, Miss Wilma. These pews, and I love them. They're very similar to the color that our pews were a few years ago. This altar, this sheetrock, the wood that made the banister,
the metal here, the wood here, the electrical stuff, the sheetrock, the beautiful sound system. I commented to Leanne during the song service, what a beautiful sound system you have. The carpet, everything, lights, I mean, from the gamut. You know what? What's, this building is really no big deal. And I say that humbly because it's like my building. It's no big deal. The stuff, the carpet, the wood, the sheetrock, the lights, they can make anything. They can make a bar. They can make a restaurant. It can make a factory. It can make an office. It can make a gas station like we have up in the corner. It can be used to make a storage building. What makes it special is you said, Lord, we want to take this wood. We want to take this carpet. We want to take this land and set it apart for you. And we want your touch on it. We want your blessing on it. We want your anointing here. And I say to you humbly, it's not unlike what we do. We say, Lord, there's a lot of junk here, a lot of stuff, a lot of baggage, a lot of background, a lot of wounds, a lot of hurt, sometimes even a little bitterness, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. And we say, Lord, I want to be all I can be to your honor and your glory. And just as surely as you can set apart a place, you can set apart a heart and a life. That's why Timothy, no surprise to me that Paul would write to Timothy, his name was God-honoring, that's what it meant. And literally, in essence, Paul was saying the same thing that Alexander said to that young man. Timothy, rise up to your name. Be God-honoring. You really got time for this? Let me move quickly. Sorry. I was a teenager between the 9th and 10th grade. So this goes back. I'm 57 now, so we're walking a long way back. Southwest High School, South Macon Ballpark next door, and then up right above from that was the track. Southwest is where I went to school, where I graduated. I'm a Macon boy. Macon's home. Macon Jr., that shows my age, doesn't it? How many times has it changed name? You know you're old when everything is not there or it's changed names a few times, right? Got a buddy who's a United Methodist preacher's son, Clay Hill. Got a buddy, Rocky Bales. We would always be together at South Macon Ballpark, playing ball, hanging out with the babes, right? Now, you may not think it, but there was a time when I wasn't as horribly looking as I am now. When I had more hair, and what hair I had was not so gray. But what we would do up there, we'd play ball, and then if you had a little girl that you liked, you walk the track with them. That's the most you could do. Didn't have cell phones. You just really can't relate. That's when time with each other meant a lot, right? We had one phone in the house, and Daddy worked for the railroad, and sometimes the phone was off limit. So any moment you could squeeze in was awesome. Matter of fact, can I put an editorial here? I feel sorry for you young people. Sometimes, and mom and dad, sometimes you need to put your phone down and get a life. And I don't mean that critically. Please, I don't want to lose my young people. I mean, sometimes you need a little space from your boyfriend even, your girlfriend. Sometimes we just need a little space in this world, right? So we're walking the track. And here's what us three boys decided we would do, because we were all active at our churches, and we let our language, not bad, but we let our language just get a little out of bounds for 14-year-old boys. So here's what we decided to brainstorm. Here's the way we're going to fix our language. Every time somebody says something bad, the other two could hit him in the shoulder. We called it get frogging each other. So I don't know what they call it. On the thigh, a Charlie horse on the thigh or the arm. So we figured this would be a good way. No pain, no gain. So enough pain and we get it together. Got me? So here we are walking the track. It's kind of dark up there, which is why you wanted to go walk the track, right? So walking the track, I let something slip out. My friend Clay Hill is on this side. My friend Rocky Bells is on this side. I notice Clay maybe fixing to try to hit me, so I duck. Rocky's already about to hit me, hits me in my jaw, knocks me out. Huh? Now, I want to tell you, young people, that's not the way to impress your girlfriend. Because I was never the biggest guy, so now I look like the weakest guy. And you know what I learned from that? All joke aside, there's a better way to clean up your language. There's a better way to make better choices. There's a better way to get it together. And that is to come to God just like you are. And say, Lord, with your help,
to your honor and to your glory. I want to get it done and get it behind me for you. Time truly is away. Y'all have done this enough. Seen preachers fall horribly on our district. Seen families mess up. Seen people play church too long. That's why a pastor's heart, just sometimes we just got to get real. Sometimes we just got to cut through the chase and get it together. Do it. Make sure it's right. So somebody here that would say, Tim, I want to be a vessel of honor. I don't want to just be a vessel. I want to be a vessel of honor, because here's the key here, y'all. Here's the key. It's the meat of what I wanted to say. That's why it always frustrates me if I get a little long before I get here, because verse 21 says that. He says, not only we would be vessels of honor, he says, and then we will be useful to the master. That's why this matters. That's why it matters that we don't care about the name on the church. It's because it's the master that we're concerned about. And can I say to you lovingly, I don't get to decide if I'm useful to him. I don't. And you don't. He determines who's useful and who's not. And when I came back to the Lord, I was in my early 20s, and I felt him calling me. Here's the two things that I'll struggle with. One, is he really calling me? And that's where Miss Wilma and a couple other ladies at my home church helped me navigate that. But you know what the bigger issue for me was? With all the junk and all the horrible choices and all the horrible things I had done, to get past the fact that not only could he use me, but that he wanted to use me, was the bigger deal. You know, my church, I've been privileged to be there, as I said earlier, the pastor, 28 years. But you know what's true about my church? The same thing that's true here is, Corey, I understand it's your third pastor. If I'm not the man for there, if I cease to live worthy of being the man there, if I cease to be the person that God says is useful to him, then I tell you about our great God. He'll get a man for that place. He'll raise up men and women at this place. And just, it's the way he's always done. And so it's in the quietness of our own personal lives where he says, Tim is useful for me. And if you're like me, this is all we got. It's said about David in Acts 13, 36. After he served God's purpose for his generation, he died. What an awesome thing to have said. You know what I'd like to... Not that I care about a tombstone, what would be a neat thing to have said? You served your purpose for God's generation, for your moment. Because as we close, this is your moment, and this is my moment. I'm 57. As I drove over and thought about my old days at Macon E, they seem like yesterday. This is our moment. And there's no person of God, there's no real person of God who is looking to get by. We're looking to do all that we can, to be all that we can, to make all the difference we can for the great God that one day we're going to stand before. And to have an opportunity, because can I remind you lovingly, he can get it done without you and me. He doesn't need us to get it done. He loves us so much, he wants to get it done through us. And that ought to energize us to run to the cross. Amen. Ken, would you come? Ken, would you come? I know times we're at a time moment. How about what I mentioned to you? That'd be okay? Or anything else. Ken's going to lead an invitation. And here's what I want you to do. If God's speaking, because I don't like long invitations, and I sure apologize because I sure don't like to preach long. But here's where we know it's real. If it's real, when we start this invitation and God's speaking to you, you'll be here. You'll be here to talk to him. And that'd be your heart to say, Lord, not just a vessel. Show me what needs to go. Show me what needs to be purged. Show me what needs to be cleansed. And here I am. I want to do it so that I can be sanctified, made holy, useful to you. What a thought. Amen.
if that's your prayer, you come. Let's have a closing word of prayer before we dismiss. Ken, lead us.
Dear